Matt and Luke's Sci-Fi Sanctuary.
The year is 3013. The galaxy is scintillating in the mellow light. Two galactic pilgrims seek out vistas in the samurai future to bring forth the unity of the cosmic shaman. Opening the door of the pantheon of mystics, the evil sorcerer wizard powers the engine of science, seeking to forever alter the sacred balance, traveling on effervescent balls of summer fire.
This week, Brainstorm.
In the year 1983, James Horner blew your socks off.
No, there's the VR that blew your socks off. Mm. They didn't say VR in this movie, did they?
No, it wasn't a thing yet. I meant to say Alex Trumbull, not James Horner.
Oh,
James
okay.
Horner said the music.
Yeah. Well, I was like, it was a good soundtrack, sure.
Yeah, it blew my socks off a little bit.
Okay.
Well, it's not VR. It's RR. It's replicated reality.
Okay, sure. I just think none of the terms existed when they made the movie Brainstorm, which is today's movie.
Yeah.
Hi.
This was a listener request, which has been a while since we've had one of those.
Yeah.
And Matt sent me this link. He's like, here's a link to a film on YouTube. It's called Brainstorm. It stars Christopher Walken. It's been requested by a listener. I was like, oh, here we go. We're going to have some schlock cheese bullshit and, you know, make a fun podcast on it. This is a good film.
Yeah, it's not as fun as Tron, but it's probably better than Tron.
Yeah, well, it's... So we were talking about, like, why is this film not well-known? And I think I know the answer.
Okay, sure.
Do you want me to go into it now? Part of the reason Turnbull made this was he was trying to push his new, better cinema technology. Like, all the... Basically, this film was made to promote those shots of roller coasters and stuff.
Right.
Because he presented a very high-res 60 frames per second camera. But it meant that I think the film got tied up in, like, they wanted to sell theaters on these new projectors and stuff.
So they couldn't show it anywhere, basically.
So, yeah, I think it just wasn't popular in, like, on the business side. But the few people who did catch the movie seemed to have loved it. I was looking at YouTube comments, and people, like, adore this movie.
He made Silent Running. Did he direct anything else?
We've now done both the James Turnbull... the Turnbull movies.
Yeah, we're never going to get to all the Horner films.
No.
There's a lot of those, and a lot of them aren't sci-fi.
And we've even done two of the three big ones that you did the effects for, so...
Yeah. So we're a Trumbull-friendly podcast. Jeez, he just passed, didn't he? Like, this year.
Yeah. Literally... Was it... No, it wasn't him. Was it him or someone? Someone passed like 2 months ago.
Yeah. It was real recently. So it might
was that him?
It might have been him. Yeah.
It was either him or one of the actors passed very recently. I was looking around the train.
But we're gonna have to do a proper introduction. This is Matt.
This is Luke.
It's a Sci-Fi Sanctuary.
I don't think people are listening to that. Oh, why do I keep wanting to say Anthony Trumbull or James Trumbull? It's Douglas Trumbull.
Yeah. I got his name down. Probably
helps. He did.
I'm reading Space Odyssey, which is
Douglas Trumbull died February of this year.
Okay.
Well, yeah, Louise Fletcher died in September.
Oh, okay, yeah. I do remember that, because I hang out with the Trekkies a lot.
Oh, yeah, and then another thing which maybe might have impacted this film's release, Natalie Wood died right before the film was finished.
Right, which we'll get to that a little more in the actors, yeah. But that's certainly a wrinkle in this. But, yeah, I, too, was coming in expecting complete another schlock.
Mm.
I mean, fun schlock. I was thinking of something like, what was I thinking of? I was about to say Videodrome, that's wrong, because that's a really good movie.
Like Brain Dead or something?
Yeah, there we go. Something like that. Like, I'd enjoy watching it, but I'd be like, haha, that was a laugh. Yeah, and this one's not a laugh.
No, not. It's quite a serious contemplative movie.
I mean, it's based on, like, human relationships, you know, intersecting with technology, which is, I mean, that's pretty important now, isn't it?
Yeah, well, this film is... I mean, obviously, like, the way they depict it with tapes and stuff hasn't aged great.
But that is like, Facebook.
Well, yeah. But, like, and also we are now at the point where everyone's best friend, Elon Musk, is wanting to put a chip in your brain. And this film does a pretty good job of very succinctly saying, hey, here's some of the ways that might be useful and all the ways it might not.
Well, he's not selling his case very well these days.
No, he can't buy an already successful website without ruining it. So I don't think he can put a chip in anyone's brain.
Well, let's take three jumps into the mass of this film. So you want to give us a story?
Yeah. Michael Gale is a scientist who, along with his wife Karen and other colleagues Lillian and Hal, has developed a mind-machine interface that allows people to experience one another's thoughts, feelings, memories, and experiences. Investors are wowed, but immediately military applications are discussed, and G-Man Gordy is added to the team. Michael uses the machine to reconnect with the estranged Karen, but Hal uses it to experience a continuous orgasm, leading to a forced retirement. Karen, stressed by fighting with the company, suffers a heart attack but manages to record her own death. Michael tries the tape but is kicked out of the company. Gordy tries it without safety precautions and dies of his own heart attack. Hal discovered some MKUltra shit, so Michael and Karen shut the company down, but not before he can experience Lillian's full tape and see visions of the afterlife.
We get to have a good actor chat on this one. Shall we start fun? Shall we go walking?
If only Matty was here to give us his walking impression.
Yeah, too bad.
Me and Matt's good friend Matty can do an amazing Christopher Walken. Sometimes. Other times he just can't do it.
What did I say last time it came out as? Like Dustin Hoffman or something?
It was, yeah.
Like, weird.
Sometimes,
like...
sometimes it doesn't come out as Walken, and sometimes it is uncannily good.
But yeah, this is very early Walken. I think his first appearance is in Annie Hall, maybe. If not, one of his first, I think it might be his first, where he's only on screen for like a minute and does make an impression. So this is, I guess it's 6 years later. He's a James Bond villain in 85, is it?
Well, his first Oscar is Deer Hunter.
Oh, God, yeah, I just never seen the Deer Hunter, that's why. Yeah, right, that's obviously a major notch in your belt.
Yeah. This is...
I'm an Apocalypse Now guy, I guess.
No, I'm just trying to think, because... Walken in this, yeah, he does seem young, but he's still 100% Christopher Walken. He came out of the box Christopher Walken, right? Like,
that's why I like his Annie Hall appearance so much, because, like, here's my younger brother, right?
Yeah.
But he's still fully Walkening.
I'm trying to think, Walken. When does he dance in this film? I think he must have done it in one of the videos he showed his wife. Because Walken dances in every movie, right? That's his thing.
Is that his thing?
Yeah, I think it's in his contracts.
Does he dance in Pulp Fiction?
I'm sure he does, because apparently it's in his contract. He dances in every film he's in.
Okay. Do you know why? Because he's walking. He doesn't even be dancing.
Because he just likes it, I think.
Okay, that's cool.
It's like how I'm pretty sure Schwarzenegger has it. He has to have a feat of strength in every film back in the 80s.
I mean, why? I mean, come on. He doesn't have to put it in his contract. Why wouldn't you give him a feat of strength
in
the 80s?
Yeah. All right.
That's a good point there. But yeah, I think he's an actor. He might be in disappointing movies sometimes, but he never disappoints.
Well, he is an actor who just plays Christopher Walken and everything. But it is very fun to watch Christopher Walken.
Yes.
Like, I like seeing him in, like, Hairspray. I still enjoy a good Christopher Walken section in that. Here, he's... I guess it's odd. I haven't seen a lot of stuff where he's, like, the lead. The one you're meant to be rooting for.
Yeah, he's kind of a character actor sort of guy.
Yeah. Because even in this, like, there are times where he's quite unlikable. So I guess it's a more nuanced film, right?
No, you're like, I know why this guy doesn't get along with women.
Yeah. But yeah, so maybe the film would have been less successful if they had got a more traditional leading man. because you can really believe that this marriage needed work, right? And then the way they reconnect actually is quite sweet.
Mm. Of course, Cliff Robertson's here, and I know he did some major stuff, but all
you
we
know
can
who
think
I know
of,
he is.
Same here. He's Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
And that's not his biggest accolade at all.
But yeah, when he's, I was going to save it till later, because, like, he's the company man who's trying to, like, sell it on to the military. Like, he of all people should know that with great power there must come great responsibility.
Oh, see, so. I was like, is Walken going to learn about the power of his technology by Cliff Robertson, like, dying because of him, maybe? Like, he should have been the one that did the tape and died, right?
Yep.
And then he'd be like, oh, I understand the great power of this and the responsibility I have. He would have said in those words.
Is the one no one likes.
But, yeah, definitely a good point. Man, are you in man in the chair position? We've got to say something real he was in. I mean, Spider-Man.
Charlie is his famous one.
Which is?
Charlie, it's good.
Oh, okay. Another one I haven't seen. There are some holes in my 70s new Hollywood filmography I didn't get to, you know?
Oh, yeah. I've just seen sci-fi films. I haven't seen normie movies. But yeah. You know, he's done a bunch of stuff, obviously. He's a very legit actor. But yeah, it's all stuff from before. I would have been watching things.
It gets a little more, you can shout out what you find when you find it, but it gets a little more depressing with the actresses. Louise Fletcher only because she just passed, you said 2 months ago, right? So
yeah.
That's, I mean, she's, one thing in here is she's not an unattractive lady, but, you know, with Cuckoo's Nest and Kai Winn on DS9, it's, you know, she just, because she's such a good actor, she makes your gag reflex go, like, in both of those, like, when she's on screen, you know?
Well, you had a good point about her, which is, like when we saw Nicolas Cage in Color Out of Space, you're wondering why they've cast her to play such a, you know, fairly run-of-the-mill character. And then we do get to see her lose her shit a little bit at the end.
Yeah, she definitely Fletchers as hard as she can for one scene and then has a heart attack and dies.
Yep.
I mean, you do notice, like, this woman, like, you're like, is it because it's an 80s movie or is she just chain smoking? And then they start bringing it up, right? So
right,
that's like part of the whole thing. Cigarettes lead to heart attacks, I guess. I suppose they could.
They lead to all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is really just an anti-smoking PSA.
Which, like, fair enough.
But yeah, definitely when, but she's not quite unlikable in this movie, even when she's doing her normal thing, because her normal thing is, like, so usually keyed in to be unlikable.
No, yeah, she's not playing one of those roles in this, because she's the character who dies you are meant to be sad about.
Right, yeah, I'm like, when she died, I'm like, what, that's it? That's, she's finished in this movie?
And then, I mean, obviously she wasn't, because the whole point is they're then trying to relive her.
Well, yeah, I thought she was, like, gonna,
as an active presence.
I was surprised that was the end of her character as an active presence there, because everything else is weird flashback, right?
Yeah.
So, we should mention, it's not actor stuff, but yeah, this is totally bizarre with its aspect ratios.
Yeah, well, that's part of the whole thing, that this was selling these special, like, super widescreen, super 60 frames per second cameras.
Because
they were meant to be like, well, they were like meant to be a VR experience.
Yeah.
You watch a roller coaster on this film, you feel like you've rode the roller coaster.
Yeah.
Obviously, now,
I did that on
being
the beach.
Used to like incredible cameras, it's probably not going to work.
No, in the early 90s, they'd have like the cheap version of the Star Tour sort of thing,
yeah.
And they'd show you a roller coaster. And I was like, you know, 11 years old. Perfectly exciting at that time.
Yeah,
they were showing us normal
like
film. I don't think they were showing us
whatever.
Trumbull quality film in that. It was a beach attraction, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. Natalie Wood, that is the one that, like you said, kind of partially sunk this movie. Hit big as a young starlet.
Yeah, she's one of the child actors who actually successfully transitioned.
She did, but she still had a... sort of a, you know, Corey stumble, right?
Okay.
Like one of the Coreys. Like she had some issues in the 70s. When she started this film, she had actually gotten, like, alcoholically out of weight, lost the weight, and had trouble, like, keeping it off while making this movie. And then, like you said, near the end of the production, she drowned in Hollywood Babylon with a one of those mysterious drowning deaths.
Yeah, do you want to hear how Wikipedia describes cause of death?
Yeah, go for it.
Drowning and other undetermined factors.
No, this case was, there was, I think Robert Wagner, her last husband, was actually, like, questioned or something as recently as 2017 about the incident.
Yeah, the death certificate was amended in 2012.
Okay. And the investigation was ongoing in 2017. Mm. So it does. They had a few stand-ins just to fill in shots. They brought in her sister, who I don't think she's a twin sister, but I guess she has a resemblance. So put her in the background a few times to finish the film.
Okay.
I honestly, if I didn't know the truth of the situation, I wouldn't have been like, oh, this actress must have like died like during filming.
I wonder, because I did feel like, because she's meant to be part of the team.
Right.
It felt like she was never there in the lab scenes.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point. In the beginning, she's
not there.
It
wasn't really until after I'd watched the film and looked at the plot, I was like, oh, that's what she was supposed to be. She was one of them, was she? So it did, yeah, she did feel slightly disconnected from the main cast.
Okay, the thing that hit me as maybe affecting the movie is the movie ended really abruptly.
Mm.
He's like, I just saw the afterlife, ha ha ha, credits.
Yeah.
I was like, should there be, like, I don't know.
I mean, where do you go from there, though, right?
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, but yeah, okay, where do you go from there, but... Yeah, yeah.
Maybe there would have been just like a nice montage scene of them two together or something.
Yeah, it just seemed like something else should pan out before.
Yeah.
It was like straight to director credit. I was like, what? How'd that happen? So, yeah.
That's like the first three Michael Bay Transformers films. The endings just get more and more abrupt across the three films. Until like the third one, they just finish the fight. They do a speech there on the bridge and the film ends.
What more is there, man? But yep. You know, the characters worked so hard to do like kind of a heist scheme to get the tape, right, and experience the tape with the safety procedures, blah blah blah. Where does Ocean's 11 end? Does that end right when they like successfully do their heist?
When you find out that the heist has been. I think isn't there like a montage of them all being rich?
Oh yeah, something like that.
Right.
So
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess you don't get rich from experiencing
the
afterlife.
No, we could have seen them, like, on a nice boathouse, and he's writing the book about the afterlife or something, right?
Right,
just
right.
Just, here's where these characters ended up, here's how they benefited from this experience, or something.
Like, I actually, like, went looking a little bit for a post-credit scene, knowing full well 1983 movie was not going to have one.
Right.
I mean, I was not like, oh, I'm disappointed. I was like, could it?
No, I guess I didn't have that.
Someone had to pioneer that, right?
What I had was, I was at the, I watched most of this film at home on my TV, and then I had to go and catch the train. So I thought I had a good 5-10 minutes left to watch on the train. And literally there was about 30 seconds and the credits started rolling. I was like, oh, okay.
So that would also be my biggest complaint with the film. You know?
I just felt like having a go.
Okay. No, that would be my biggest complaint with the film, that it just seemed like kind of like got his tail chopped off or something.
Maybe, but then also...
But the meat's good.
It also could feel like an artistic choice, right?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like I said...
That's where
there is like a, where'd you go from here?
Mm.
So maybe it does want to leave you with that question lingering, but it did feel a little odd.
Yeah.
We said they don't use the word VR in this film.
Right.
But if you think about our different versions of VR, you've got your holodeck, right? It's physically around you.
I was mostly thinking Oculus Rift, because I was trying to think, like, you are
technology. I'm going just sci-fi, right? Then you've got Matrix, it plugs right into your neck. You've got, yeah, Oculus Rift, where it's just, it's screens and stuff around you. Let's push it to, like, Ready Player One levels or Red Dwarf levels.
No, I don't want to take it there. I want to talk about your Monster Hunter experience.
I was going to do that later.
Oh, okay.
I clearly was starting a bit. Why are you doing this?
How could you?
Like, we got to fill this podcast, man. Let me do my one and you do your one in a minute. Jeez.
Roll tape.
Fuck it. What sci-fi VR do you want to experience? That was my question.
Oh, okay. Bridge of the Enterprise, right? Done it in dreams, so it's kind of like I have.
No, but I specifically mean what? Which of the VR technologies do you want to use?
Oh.
So do you want to step into a holodeck? Do you want to plug it into your brain? Do you want to just screens? How do you want to do it?
That's a good question.
Because I don't think I want to use any of the brain ones.
Yeah, you know, you want robot legs, but not robot brain.
Yep.
Okay.
So, I mean, like Ready Player One, Red Dwarf, where it's just a screen in front of your eyes. So if the sensory input is real, but I know it's not actually connecting to my cortex in any way.
Yeah.
Is okay.
But Holodeck, you do get to real life interact. But it doesn't make sense when you think about it, right?
Holodeck really doesn't quite make
like, you really should be walking into the walls a lot.
Well, I mean, you mentioned I did, like, a pretty decent VR experience recently, the Monster Hunter one. They very cleverly, like, you would get to the edge of the room, and then you would fall down, the floor would collapse and you're in a cave, or you would get carried by a monster somewhere else, and suddenly you have to go back the other way.
Ah.
But it didn't feel like you were going back and forth. They used clever tricks to make it feel like you would keep going...
Okay.
...into new places, but of course you were just walking back and forth in the same room, probably.
No, I was just, like, because you told me about your experience, right? So that and Oculus Rift was running through my head watching this movie, because, I didn't get fantasyful watching this. I didn't think of The Matrix. I didn't think of Star Trek's Holodeck. I thought of Oculus Rift and, you know, Universal USJ's Monster Hunter, which I assume they probably have other Universal Studios as well, but... Or do they?
As far as I can tell, the only VR one they had when we were there was the Monster Hunter thing.
Okay.
Oh, the Mario Kart game uses, like, AR.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about other Universal parks, like Florida.
Oh, yeah, they might have a non... Outside of Japan, they probably don't have a Monster Hunter one.
Okay. Yeah, so...
Have you used an Oculus or anything?
I haven't. There was one at the Yamanodenki, but I guess because of COVID, it seemed to be, like, bolted to the table, so...
I've used one at a Games Expo, like, 10 years or so ago.
That was Oculus?
It was like early days of Oculus.
Okay.
But I just played like some indie karting game. It was still fairly impressive.
Okay.
But yeah, the stuff that they're doing now, I would like to give a proper go.
No, I've been at the Yamanodenki like a few times and was like, oh shit, it's bolted down so I can't access.
I've been to a few retro game shops and used Virtual Boys while I've been in Japan.
Oh, I've done a Virtual Boy. It gives you a headache.
Oh, yeah, very quickly.
No, because our often guest Mark got the Virtual Boy, and we'd be like, oh, this sucks.
I've come very close to buying them.
It is hard not to, isn't it?
The only reason I stopped is because they never have a price on the box.
Ah.
So I'm like, I'm going to get to the counter, and this is going to be expensive. And I'm going to be like, feel like I need to buy it.
That is what happened to the Robin figure I showed you. This is the Batman and Robin figure,
yeah.
Where he's got this... The largest crotch bulge ever.
And the proper rubber nipples.
Because I was like, I'm going to get this for your Christmas present. Oh, shit, this is like a collector's figure that's $400. Sorry, you can't have that. If it was 15, it would have been a Christmas present. But
there's a present I really want to get Matty, but it's pushing the limit of how much I'm willing to spend. I think it's about the same as what I paid for your Enterprise, though. You know those Aztec death whistles he's obsessed with? You can get one. And all of the reviews are like, this terrified my family. My wife now makes me sleep on the sofa.
They are terrified. That sounds like Maddie's future quote.
I played this to a classroom full of four-year-olds and got fired. It's going to be Maddie's future quote. Because they heard 1,000 dying screams at once come from my whistle.
So yeah.
I probably am going to get in one of those.
Okay, so where were we on this Oculus Rift? Yeah, I would say I have not had a proper VR experience. Let me put it that way. I did the Disney Quest one, and if anyone knows what I'm talking about, that was absolute bullshit. Because that was like, I did it... Again, Mark and I went and did that in 2009, 10, and the tech was already 10 years old.
Right.
So it was just like, this is funny, you know?
I think what we're getting close to is, because what I want is one that's just light. I want just headset controllers, not too many wires. I can whap it on, play a few games, take it off. Because I've been tempted by the PlayStation VR one. There's like three different wires sticking out of it. And you've got to set up a camera for it to track your head. I'm just like, no.
Well, okay, Brainstorm
but
puts
that,
out like you're going to ride a roller coaster, you're going to experience someone else's thrill, right? I'm sitting here wondering if I wanted to VR, would I prefer to be able to like walk around the Great Pyramid in VR? Because I go there in real life, but it's difficult, right? So
right,
maybe that'd be fun. Or do I want to play a game?
Well, the thing about this one is they weren't interacting with it. That's why I said it's not VR.
Oh, because it's just recorded, yeah.
Yeah, so they can experience what someone else already did. It's closer to Total Recall.
Well, the machine at the beginning definitely looked like the recall device.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it's not like they're putting it on and it's playing in front of their eyes and they're moving around. They're just reliving these memories of another person.
Mm.
Whereas when I think VR, it's I enter this. Yeah, maybe it is just visiting the Great Pyramid, but I am then free to walk around it.
Okay, that's what I want to do. You're just asking, I guess, what I want from VR, and I'm not like that serious a gamer. So I mean, yeah. A game could be fun. I'm sure I'd like the Monster Hunter thing, which is why I jumped the gun. But
most VR games are not, because the stuff you do in most games would be fucking horrible to do in VR. Like, people have played Resi and stuff, and apparently it is amazing. But you can only play for an hour before you're vomiting your guts up, right? You play VR to go to a place and see a thing, essentially. The Monster Hunter one we did, when we fight the monster, it was basically we stand still, we swing, or we block.
Yeah.
But what was amazing was just walking around this environment.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, being at the top of a mountain and seeing these creatures and stuff. And similarly, like, I think a lot of the most popular VR experiences are, like, you know,
going to wild places.
Going to wild places.
And having the freedom to move around that wild space.
Right. Because, yeah, if I'm just reliving someone else's memories, I might as well just watch a documentary about the Great Pyramid.
Mm.
Yeah, what I want is to have that freedom to be like, go right up to it, look at the bit I'm interested in. Yeah, that's what I feel VR adds.
We'll take it back to Star Trek in the holodeck, the infamous final episode of Enterprise.
Right.
It's just Riker and Troy basically, like, you know, watching Enterprise on the holodeck.
Well, our guest for our Hitchhikers episode, Richie Morgan, he put it best, right? Which is, ironically, if he had a holodeck, the number one thing you'd want to do is go on the Enterprise.
Yeah.
I'd probably be the same.
Or would you do, was it Hal? Hal, who was Orgasm Man?
Yeah.
That's the first thing that fucking happened. This kind of,
I mean, that's not tech. Wrong, right?
No, yeah,
this porno. Technology comes out, the first thing you're doing.
And porno is on the cutting edge of the sort of stuff, right?
But can we tell the story about our mutual friend and how he decided to use it when you taught him lucid dreaming?
Oh.
Who immediately starts bragging that he's fucking porn stars.
I was like, I was trying to talk to, like, gurus and, like, you know, look into mirrors and stuff, man, teach people to fly. Yeah, but again, yeah, I mean,
I go to bed with my wife and I immediately go to sleep so I can fuck someone else.
Well, even
apologies to whoever the listener was who asked for this episode, but I just turned it very crude.
Another occasional guest, I guess not so much on the Sanctuary, but Scott, he told me just yesterday, like, he had his first lucid dream. He was like, it was a little orgy like. Like, he said, oh, like, don't think it was like absolute like porno, but it had like some horny vibes to it, his point. So, I mean, I guess that's the first place you go. Yeah, I'm just
the first place I come.
Properly lucid dreamed, I ended up by a dumpster behind an office park.
Like, by choice?
No, okay, so. I think I said on this podcast before, I do kind of, when it works, it's usually wild method. I mean, you wake up kind of early in the morning and try and let your body go back to sleep without letting your mind fall asleep. And you kind of see like hypnagogic imagery and colors. And one of them eventually coalesces into like scenery.
Mm.
And you blast into the scenery. And that turned out to be behind an office park dumpster.
Hmm.
I mean, I left immediately, but
right.
That's just where I ended up. And then I had like,
so you Kyle Reese'd into wherever you were visiting.
Yes. I think I wasn't naked.
Still
a
hobo's pants while you were there.
No, I left the dumpster real quick because you can fly with it's a lucid dream. But yeah. Well, actually, most of my lucid dreams, I think, are checking the dream phone or the dream clock and then realizing that wasn't the real one.
Yeah, right.
Which unfortunately happens weekly for me now.
I mean, I've had that, not even lucid dreaming, where I've, like...
No, that was a lucid dream. That's what I'm saying. You just didn't recognize it as such.
But, yeah, where I've checked the clock, been like... Oh,
or astral projection. I guess there's a difference between astral projection and lucid dreaming. Oh, yeah. Or it's all bullshit.
I'm just dreaming about my bedroom.
I'll take that. I'm going to say lucid dreaming is 100% a thing.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Yeah.
All in your mind, if you want, sure. But it's there.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a thing you can do in your mind.
Hmm. I will say, like, okay, here's some of the brainstorm. Like, you're like, it's all, like, recorded. So you kind of know what you're getting into. I mean, like, they knew this might fuck them up because it's her death video, right?
Right.
But I will say, like, with lucid dreaming or something, you have more control. Mm. Like, you can change things, right?
Yeah.
And you can, and I have occasionally, you meet dream characters, and sometimes it's like NPCs. Like, obviously, that's your brain creating. Occasionally, you do meet someone that doesn't quite seem that.
There's a big thing online. You probably wouldn't have seen it. A lot of people meet Obama in their dreams.
I haven't met Obama in my dream.
And because Obama is famous for such an being like an incredible orator, Dream Obama comes up with incredible quotes.
I should hope so.
Like, Dream Obama has said some of the most poetic things that have ever been said by humans, just by in random Tumblr humans. Kids' dreams.
I like that. That's
yeah,
great.
That's great. I'm gonna pull up some Dream Obama quotes for you.
Hey, Dream Obama, I can do that. Like, who? Yeah, this wasn't lucid, but one of my most vivid dreams, for some reason, was I was suddenly needing to play bass for Def Leppard on stage, yeah. And I don't even like Def Leppard.
I was in a classroom with Obama, and at some point he said, everyone has a set number of words they can speak before they die. What you do with it is up to you.
Mm. Yeah. That's like the book quote from Carl Sagan, kind of, though. But it's dream produced, so I'm not saying...
I had a dream last night where Obama said, some things feel like holding the devil's hand while you face God. A comfort in corruption.
Oh, that is good.
Yep.
Give me one more.
I'm trying to find a really good one. There are some that are just like Facebook mum quotes, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to sign up for Tumblr. Just let me look at the fucking things.
Listeners are holding their breath. It's fine. They can deal with it. This
right,
is
yeah,
the chill part of the podcast.
Edit this, is he?
It's just where you chill for a second. You're like, yeah, I'm just hanging out with
Think
these
about what
students.
Obama said to you in your dreams.
Yeah, please send us what Obama told you in your dream. We want to know.
Oh, God, yeah. I would love to get that. Obama said, violence for violence is the rule of beasts. To become God is the loneliest achievement of them all. Yeah, I want to meet Obama in my dreams. I dig, which I didn't know this film was going to do, was that whole using a semi-realistic scientific thing to get into like a real supernatural afterlife place.
Yeah.
Like a flatliners type thing, or I'm trying to think of other examples.
Well, I just mentioned in the last segment about my entering lucid dream things, mm-hmm. and it was very similar to the entering, what is Louise Fletcher's character's name? Louise Fletcher's memories.
Right.
And this, of course, is in like digital detail in real mind game space. Mm. It's much hazier, but it was kind of the same concept. So when you were asking, how'd you end up by a dumpster? That way.
Right.
I went into one of the balls and it was a dumpster, but it was more like an amorphous blob of purple color that turned into that rather than a digital ball. How much this was digital? There's a fair amount of digital.
It's eighth. The opening credits seemed very digital.
Yeah.
The and balls then the spheres digital. Must have been. But I think once we were seeing the angels and stuff within the vision, I don't think that was digital.
Oh, no, that looked classic Trumbull. Yeah, yeah, and yeah. The jet flying over a Tron-looking landscape, while
the jet were practical effects, and maybe the landscape was digital.
I wondered if the landscape was actually just like
Escape from
New York style.
Digital,
yeah, that's actually what I came down on for that.
Yeah, you could be right.
Or I could be wrong. I don't know.
Well, like,
I didn't look
even
that up.
Tron, right? A lot of what they said was digital wasn't.
Oh, yeah, he's filmed in black and white and like pumped some color in and it looked trippy and digital, right? So that's why I'm saying I think the jet stuff actually was not digital. But
you could be right, yeah.
If someone wants to properly correct me on that, go ahead, because it's hard to come across stuff for Brainstorm. Shouldn't be. Should be easy. It's Trumbull. It's a good film, but it's not.
Yeah, I did see like one YouTube video after I watched the film. So that's where I got a lot of this background stuff about Trumbull getting it made. And yeah, the fact that the whole film is available on YouTube is wild, because this feels like it should be like a beloved classic.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's actually better than Tron.
Yeah, it's a, well,
it's got through
it's
it.
Good in a very different way.
In a different way.
Yeah.
I mean, like the interhuman relationships, him and Flynn and his girlfriend, Tron, is just like boilerplate movie where this is like complex relationships.
This is using sci-fi to actually talk about a genuine thing, which is that seeing another person's point of view is what can fix most interpersonal problems, right? Mm. Comedian Frankie Boyle had one of my favorite quotes of all time, which was, "You can't hate someone you understand."
Yeah.
And like, that's what a lot of things boiled. That's what their marriage problems were from, that they were both, they were angry at the version of each other they created in their heads, not the real people.
Well, there's the lame saying, "Walk a mile in my shoes," right?
Yeah.
But there is some truth to it. You just heard that said too many times. That's all.
Have I told you that I did my work experience at an art museum?
No?
I did my week's work experience at an art museum.
When did you do a week's work experience?
Last year of junior high school.
Okay.
And it was a total doss because it was an art museum. We were like designing a brochure for them and mostly just pissing around. One of their exhibits was at the entrance. They had a collection of shoes. And they were like, they invite you to switch your shoes to someone else's when you enter. So you can walk a mile in someone else's shoes.
See, that's why the phrase, I didn't want to use it, but it is fitting.
But then the... Everyone I was on work experience with was like, "Luke, wear the stilettos, wear the stilettos." So I wore the stilettos all day, and that was the day my head of year decided to visit my work experience. I am now really struggling to think of other films that do the slightly sci-fi afterlife thing.
Flatliners, do we say that?
Yeah,
already?
Flatliners was the one I brought up.
Yeah.
I feel like there must be more than that.
Is it Christopher Walken with Altered Images or whatever it is?
Maybe.
I'm sorry if I got the name wrong, but there's something around this time that also kind of gets into that, I think.
Okay. There was a Doctor Who episode.
That is an MK Ultra movie, I think.
Okay. There's a Doctor Who episode where he tries to fly the TARDIS into the afterlife.
Mm.
And then they end up discovering some Cyberman plot that was a fake afterlife or whatever, but...
I guess The Frighteners doesn't count.
No. Oh, Stephen King must have done something like this, though.
A Dead Zone? He could see people die or whatever.
Or like there's some film where someone's a telepath.
Walken again, what the fuck?
A telepath where they're connected to someone's death.
I think Walken's obsessed with being in the... He wants to dance, he wants to experience the afterlife. That's also in his contract.
Well, I mean, this film, he did a film about the afterlife and then one, his co-star died while he was making it.
Yeah.
So this probably did have some like lasting effect. He was on the boat, I think.
There is a possible... There's a fair amount for and against that him and Natalie Wood actually did have an affair while making this movie. Some people are very much on. Some people are like, they didn't have any chemistry. I don't think they did. But hey, maybe they were
trying
to.
That's why they didn't have any chemistry, yeah.
Right. Because they had that one like romantic scene, and apparently on set it was like cold fish. So, But that could be why it was cold fish, right?
One scene I did really like in this film, there's the bit where they're faking that they're having mammal problems again. But the first scene, they're having a fight, and I'm just like, this is terrible. This is so fake. And then the next scene, you discover it was meant to be fake. Because he's just like, go to hell. You go to hell, too. Go to hell. You go to hell, too.
That might have been actually where I wrote my note, this is why he doesn't get along with women. So I did buy it for a second you did. We were talking effects. How does this fit on the Trumbull scale? I feel like it's about silent... I guess it's about silent running quality. I mean, nothing at all is 2001 quality.
Yeah, because no one had the time and money that... Kubrick brought to a film. Well, then when we talked to the monkey, right, he was saying, I asked him, I can't remember his name.
Dan Richter.
I said, have there been any other effects, like creature features that have lived up to it since? And he's like, no, because no one else would spend 6 months perfecting a creature shot like Stanley Kubrick was. Like, yeah, fair enough.
Close Encounters is a pretty close, it almost gets there, I think.
Yeah, this looks... I guess because what this is doing is so different, because it's not, none of it's actually meant to look real.
Right, but it's kind of real.
Trippy in a different way.
Yeah.
Like the shots of just like all those souls or angels or whatever they were flying into the light.
That's the best shot.
Yeah, that's a great shot.
And I think the point is it can't look, maybe that was the thing, it cannot look digital at all. Yeah. It doesn't work.
Yeah, that was pure Trumbull and that was great.
And I've read New Age books where people talk about, you know, where souls are born and, you know, things of light. And I'm like, oh, that pretty much is what he's putting on film here.
Well,
so.
Souls are born on the island from Lost.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course.
Oh, no. Souls come from Kingdom Hearts. Which I think is the island from Lost. It's all a bit vague.
I only play the shitty Kingdom Hearts games, apparently.
Well, no, because at the end of the first Kingdom Hearts, you find out what Kingdom Hearts is, and I was like, oh shit, it's the island from Lost.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert for a 20-year-old game about hanging out with Donald and Goofy.
I just played Recoded in 365 byte 2.
I played 1, and now I'm playing Chain of Memories, which is the one where the combat is all a card game.
Oh, that turns me off.
It really turns... I mean, it's better than most of those card gamey games, but still. I just want to get back to fighting.
I've been playing a JRPG sort of slash maybe legit, maybe... I thought it was like a Western thing, but they're speaking Japanese. I guess it might be Japanese, but it's just a match 3 game.
Oh, okay, yeah, there's a lot of those.
Yeah, it's a good one, though. I'll give it my plus. Where were we? Effects, Trumbull. Do we finish that?
Yeah, I guess we did. Matt, what's the question we usually end our podcasts with?
Does it hold up?
Like, better than ever.
it never had a chance to hold up. Yeah. I mean, you and I were like, what is this schlock? And, oh, this is a hard sci-fi film.
Directed by
Douglas Trumbull. Why do I not know this? Starring Christopher Walken and Louise Fletcher and Natalie Wood and Cliff Robertson.
I want to go back and listen to our Silent Running episode. I bet one of us looks on Wikipedia and mentions Brainstorm.
Yeah. And we're just like Brainstorm. Finish.
Oh, what's he directed? Silent Running and something called Brainstorm? Oh.
That sounds stupid.
Yeah. So, yeah, this what an incredibly rare thing to discover a, like, legit, really good film with all these actors you've heard of that you just didn't know about. Oh, what a treat.
Yes, thanks for a suggestion. Sorry, I guess I should actually sit here and be like, thanks to the person who gave the suggestion.
And if you're not the person who gave us a suggestion, like, this whole film's on YouTube. And that, you probably, is it fair game to include the link? I don't know.
I include the link when it's straight up on YouTube.
Sure. Yeah, check it out, basically.
Oh, there's someone posting about Tron, we must be close. But this is one you really need to see.
Yeah, we should probably have put that at the start before we spoiled everything. Because it also does actually go some places.
Yeah.
So yeah, like you said, yeah, it doesn't hold up because it's brand new. But yeah, if this is a film that came out this week, it's a bloody good one.
Oh, here's someone saying I'm upset I didn't watch it when it was on streaming. I'm lost in my...
If I have one complaint about it, it deals with some quite adult themes, but seems to be trying to keep everything PG. So, like, yeah. They have a subplot about a guy using it to have sex, but you just see a woman with her jumper on.
Apologize, could not find the post on recording a podcast schedule, but yes, thank you.
Well, I mean, if you find it in advance and mention their name in the description, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
Like, yeah, it's got like a failing marriage, but no one swears. It's got like multiple scenes about death.
And it's a realistically failing marriage, you know?
Well, yeah,
it's
I mean,
not
we'll get
like
to
a
that
Hollywood
in a minute,
like. Because
right?
Usually you'd be like, oh, you had this thing and now I'm jealous and blah, blah, and you're. Yeah. Like, okay, he was having an affair with Louise Fletcher?
I don't think he had like a full on affair. They just had a bit of a.
See, maybe that was just me like taking the Hollywood, like, you know,
right.
Like short book. Oh, well, obviously he's having an affair with the other woman. No, they're just. Yeah.
Yeah, they're just friends.
Because the question is, like, can you work together with your soon-to-be ex-wife, right?
Yeah. But the real question is, like, can you, if you understand each other better, can you repair it? And yeah, that's what they did.
Mm.
So you think of Trumbull as this sci-fi guy. He's an effects guy who went on to do films.
Mm.
So what's really surprising is that this is a very human film.
Is Silent Running a very inhuman film because we got a guy you can't relate with living with robots? But yes, a detailed
but still,
guy.
Yeah, it's still a character film. It's still a character study of a movie.
The character's definitely there. You're just like, wow. I guess that's the thing about in Silent Runner, I think it's Bruce Dern, not the character name, but like, you're like, this is a fleshed out character. I just can't understand him because he's so out there.
And like, when you hear about this film's production and it sounds like, you know, Trumbull wanted to push a new effects technology and that's why it was made. So yeah, he had this gift for creating very human stories, and yeah, just only got to make two. And well, he just did spaceships for other people.
I mean, this basically just burned him out on Hollywood after all this stuff involving his techniques, involving the controversy with Natalie Wood's death, or the intrigue, I should say. It was just like he was out, which is kind of too bad. Understandably, but definitely too bad.
Well, and also it might just be that. Yeah, sure, he's good at making these movies, but his passion was making spaceships and stuff.
Yeah.
Which, like, fair enough.
I'm just like, if not for being, you know, kind of, like, burnt out on this movie, he would have had four more decades of making sci-fi films, maybe, you know? Which would have been cool to talk about.
Oh, yeah, and it would have been interesting to see him keep doing effects as, like, new technology was coming in. Would we have seen more stuff where traditional effects and CG were used in tandem more effectively and stuff? Who knows?
Yeah, because apparently most of his energy after this didn't even go to doing effects on films, but went to doing ride videos and ride effects and IMAX movies. Oh, definitely in my ballpark, but I'm just saying, like, it's kind of weird that...
No, but I'm just saying it's probably less stress to work on those.
That's
right?
Why I did it, He's just like, just give us something that looks cool. We don't have any A-list actors or B-list actors, like...
There's no divas to deal with.
So he probably enjoyed his life more the track that it went, but you know, as I don't know what is the goal. I mean the tortured artist is a bit of a stupid cliche to a certain extent, but is it better for someone to be a little perturbed and make fantastic stuff, or to have a groovy time and make okay stuff?
Well, that is the question that will never be answered about art, right? Because, would it be better to not have all the things you love, but no one suffered? Maybe, but that's not the world we live
in. You do not want Vincent van Gogh's brain tapes, you know?
Yeah.
That would be a super bad trip.
But, you know, today I've used multiple electronic devices that were made with conflict minerals. I'm wearing clothes that were probably made in a sweatshop. I just drank some coffee that was probably, like, farmed by slaves. So, like, you know... At the end of the day, is the guy who made my movies was a bit sad. He's actually quite low on the list. But yeah, if we're talking about directors who went completely the other direction, the next recording we're doing is The Abyss.
Also with marital problems. Okay.
Yeah.
Do we plug? Do we put a plug in it?
I mean, I'm sure most of the listeners who are listening to this one probably already listened, but you can find this podcast on Twitter at MLSFSPod. Also on Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Make sure you search Matt and Luke's Sci-Fi Sanctuary. If you're not subscribed already, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review, and tell your friends. Spread the word. If you want to hear other podcasts made by me and Matt, you can go to patreon.com/podcastio/podcastius. And I guess this week I'll recommend that you check out the Monster Mash episode, all about the VR experience.
Right, because I was trying to pull that out prematurely from you.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right. I was trying to pull out prematurely.
And then I came.
Avatar, Gremlins.